Targeting people on a personal level, that it becomes like counterproductive to the environment that we're seeking. He was basically just a butthead.
All right. Did the gaming table show up?
My gaming table did, in fact, show up.
So you were telling me in your email that you're getting a new gaming table because you want to play Twilight Imperium, and I assume it's because of the 8-player expansion. Is that right?
Actually, you would be assuming incorrectly.
Incorrectly, okay.
Which
is usually my case, right?
Yeah, it seems to be a habit of yours. I'm willing to forgive it because I do it from time to time myself. Basically the original Twilight Imperium Third Edition. Aldi and I and four other people played it in Dallas, thought it was a great game. It just didn't quite work. Didn't like the whole, you got to pick the one so that you can get the eight, so that you can pick the one so that you can pick the eight, that kind of thing.
Right. So have you played the expansion? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, actually, I took a bunch of neophytes through it almost exactly a week ago, and so while my brain's telling me, yes, it's a better game now, I can't prove it. So, in that we only made it like 3 turns, even though we were there for, 6 hours. So.
3 turns in 6 hours?
Well, everybody was brand new, except for me. And if you've played that with brand new people, it's really kind of hard to really understand what the game is. And then once you kind of get rolling, you can knock out a pretty good pace,
right.
But it takes a little while to get to that point.
So it sounds like you're giving it thumbs down. Is that a fair statement?
Oh gosh, no, actually.
No?
Well, I was a thumbs up, but I when I played it the first time, but now that the Shattered Empires has come out, I'm all over that, actually. And so I think it addresses most of my concerns with it. I didn't like turtling, and that seems not to be the case, but I can't prove that because we didn't get too many turns into it for me to say unequivocally. My only real complaint these days is I kind of wish the politics was a little bit more of a more, you know?
Right.
So I think you can fix it. It's just it's a great game. I love it, actually.
Well, talking about kind of in the same line, the last time we talked a little bit about Nexus Ops, and you thought it was a great game. And, and most recently on your website, you responded to somebody that had painted the figures in Nexus Ops, and you said it was a shame that I can't come out there and beat you with your own figures. I assume you're pretty good at this game, and I wanted to talk to you about this. When you're playing, I want to kind of get into detail on Nexus Ops. When you're playing Nexus Ops, the way you do it, what's your balance? Do you tend to, as far as the purchasing your army, do you tend to go with a lot of the lower end figures or the high end figures, or do you buy a lot of dragons, or what's your perfect balance there when you're playing?
Well, actually, I don't know that I would beat him. I just like talking smack, first off.
I figure, yeah.
Yeah, Nexus Off is just a great light little game, and it's got, you know, a lot of good strategic / tactical decisions to make, which is really cool. I really like it because it's one of the few multiplayer war games you can play that actually really behooves you to go out and mess some shit up, which is kind of lacking in a lot of those kinds of games.
Yeah.
That said, I don't know that I have a strategy per se. It depends on the lands that are around you. I think the fungoids and the crystal guys or whatever they were.
The crystallines, yeah.
Yeah. If you've got a lot of those kinds of features around you, their bonus in their own home territory is huge. So that's pretty important.
Yeah, let me ask, how important is controlling the Nexus to winning? Is that vital?
I think so. I think, well, that's one of the magical parts about the game is that to keep the tower means you're probably going to get bashed on by people, which means you won't hold the tower for very long. But if you ever do let somebody hold the tower for an inordinate amount of time, those extra cards he's drawing every turn will really, really screw things up. I mean, a well-placed, reversal of fortune or something like that,
where you go
first and then they go in a reverse batting order, that can be devastating if played the right way. So those cards are really, really important in terms of being able to successfully be on the board, I think. So I think it's good that it's not a very defendable position, but that it does reward you.
Right. Let me talk about another game here. I was reading, you made a comment in the comment section on this game, I'm the Boss by Sid Sackson, and I wanted to bring this up because I recently played it and I thought it was a fantastic game, and you were kind of disappointed in it. Can you expand on that, why you were so disappointed in this?
Well, like so many other of Sid Sackson's games, is really well designed, especially for the time it came out. I'll be honest with you, most of it is just the fact that I'm not a huge fan of negotiation games.
I wouldn't think that. I would think you would be very good at those type of games.
Well, I am and I'm not. I'm not very good at weaseling my way into things. I tend to. It's all about who makes the most deals, not who's in the best deals, right?
Right.
And especially when you're playing with fairly analytical players, I think actually most people assume that about me also, and so they tend not to cut me in just because they think I'm a threat.
Yeah.
So it's great for what it is. I believe the last time I played I'm the Boss was a while back, so I may have been a little bitter from the fact that I just lost a couple times or something like that.
Well, you brought this up on my last show. We talked about, you were talking about how incredibly social gaming's become, and you made this comment on this I'm the Boss game that it was so all important about how the crowd is when you play
the
game.
Well, I mean, to me, that's, I meet people around the world, and particularly this country, that get into gaming, and it's really interesting that I find them kind of stepping through essentially the same kind of progression I did in many cases, which is they start with really heavily dry, highly designed games until, thinking, oh, well, that essentially will equate to me being smarter if I can win this game, until they realize that it just isn't so. And
right.
So the social component becomes more magnified, I think. And so I can argue all day long at work, but when I play games, I'm there because I'm hanging out with my buddies.
Do you think the last time you played I'm the Boss, it was because the reason you didn't have a great experience, was it the crowd, do you think?
No, I think the crowd was good. If I recall back then, the group I was with was just fine. The thing is, it really, as you say, it is highly group dependent, and they may be trying to suck more fun out of it. It's a negotiation game, so it is highly group dependent.
Well, I had a great time. Yeah, I had a great time. Well, I've rated very highly, much higher than you. Maybe because of the group I had. So,
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and when it's all said and done, you're touching on the issue that makes me, you know, not want to give out good or bad ratings as much anymore, if for no other reason than the fact that I do appreciate how group-dependent any given game can be.
Right.
And so, you know, if you've got the right group for it, it works great. And I hate to be... Once a game hits a certain plateau in terms of it is playable, you know, I would hate for somebody to say, oh, well, Dirk thinks it's a 7, and so it's not a very good game.
Right.
You know, it is a good game. You just have to have the right people.
Yeah, Dirk, I got to tell you, I'm getting really dizzy now because I'm talking about all these games. That's very unusual for my show, talking about games.
Yeah, I know. I don't know what to say about that. You know, where's the vitriol? Come on.
Let's get into get away from games for a second and talk about now that we've had all these many months. I wonder, and in fact, I've never talked to you about this because the last time we talked, Michael Barnes hadn't been banned yet. And I just want to, in retrospect, now that you look back on it, was that a good decision, bad? What's your thoughts on that whole Barnes banning issue?
Well,
were you for the banning? By the way, were you for it?
That's a bad question to ask me because I think Aldi's more tolerant than I am, actually. If it had been up to me, I would have probably, A, Barnes would not have been the first person banned, and B, I would have banned him earlier.
Yeah. So. Now, obviously, you obviously know the real reason he was banned. Can you tell us, or is that top secret?
Actually, I don't know. I don't remember what the real reason was other than the fact that he was basically just a butthead.
So Tom Vassell didn't play a role in it then?
Well, no, I mean...
He didn't threaten to quit unless you straighten all this stuff out?
Oh, hell no.
Okay.
We wouldn't do that anyway. I mean, if anything, I mean, I think I proved that beyond a shadow of a doubt with the whole Rick thing. I mean, I'll take Rick's cause, but I thought he, you know, back in the day, Rick Thornquist, I thought he overreacted, and I said so. And I would not stick up for Tom to the detriment of someone else, other than the fact that if I think that other someone else is already crossing the line, period.
Now, I'm glad you brought Rick up, because you obviously ran into Rick over at the Gathering of Friends. Did y'all talk about his leaving there? Or
no, not really.
He didn't really have any comments on that?
Well, I mean, you know, it's not all business, and it certainly isn't all plots and deviousness. I mean, shit, honestly. The truth is like, you know, Barnes got banned because he was agitated.
So, in retrospect, you think
it was the right decision.
You think it was the right decision then?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, everybody keeps saying, well, he had really great comments and whatnot. And I agree. If he wasn't, like, you know, 9/10 butthead and 1/10, you know, good comments, if it had been a little bit better in a percentage, then we wouldn't have crossed swords and he wouldn't have lost.
Yeah, you know, I got to thinking about that in the last show. You said you didn't really disagree with what he said. He kept the amount of his posts. He wouldn't let anybody else participate. It was one of your comments you made. And I got to thinking about that. You know, maybe that's something in the future. That seems to be a problem a lot of websites have with forums and so forth. You can let somebody, you know, if you were actually having a forum in person and a guy kept jumping up and interrupting, I mean, he'd be thrown out. I mean, it seems like there needs to be some mechanism where you have some kind of order there.
Well, the thing is like, I would never, I mean, purely on an engineering level, I would never do that. I will say, though, that, you know, anytime I go into any thread and there's six people fighting with one person and that one person is putting out as many posts as six people, I'm by default, before I even read what's going on, I'm already somewhat prejudiced against that one person.
Right.
And not because I feel that they're right or wrong, but just because... No, I mean, as the expression goes, methinks the lady doth protest too much. I mean,
very good, very good. Well, that's enough on that. I don't want to dwell on that. I mean, that's old news, but I did want to get your comments on it since it happened in basically right after our interview last time.
I suppose so. I don't remember.
Yeah, but what? No, still on the subject of banning. What did you? Where do you weigh in on my banning on the Geek? Now, yeah, let me refresh your memory. I had
I remember.
Okay.
I remember. I think. Well, that's a tricky one. The thing is like, you know, it's you. Speaking as somebody who has a tendency to make jokes online, right? And I'm assuming you are also that same person, because I recall reading a post on your lovely Ameritrash blog earlier this week, which I believe my name came up, and I was apparently extremely jealous.
We'll talk about that in a second. I got that.
Yeah,
next,
so. I know that. But, I mean, the thing is like, okay, I read that. And
did you like it? Well, that was funny. That was funny.
I'm not saying it isn't funny. I mean,
the fact that Greg took notes and left work early, you got to, I know you died laughing.
No, hang on. Let me complete my thought here. The thing is, I know that about you, right? Fine.
Right.
That's it. But if I don't know that about you, if I'm listening to you, there will be a point where I will not necessarily take it in jest, right? I mean, I've said this time and time again in my entire life on the internet and email and whatnot. The frame of mind that you read something in almost has more to do with what you're reading than the actual content itself. And so if you say something, that just reinforces the fact that that is true. And so, you know, regardless of whether or not you meant it maliciously or not, that's really not really the point. My point is more that it's very difficult for... Once you say, you know, hey, Aldi, did you call my ISP and get me banned? And even though I know you were joking, and Aldi knew you were joking, everybody freaking knew you were joking, except for the half a dozen people that emailed him and said, are you sure that happened? I mean, the mere fact that you say something, essentially, I'm saying blanketly. This is unfortunately the culture that we live in, but the minute you say something, it gives credence to that one something. And so
I agree with that. Okay. I want to go beyond that, and then what Aldi said, demanding. Now, I would have believed Aldi if he Aldi tends to be very brief.
You hang on, just right there.
Okay.
Just stop right there. He totally would have unbanned you. That was not even a question. You honestly, in the grand scheme of things, you're not all that much more than just a symbol back at the time. I mean, personally, we don't have a problem with anybody. It's just the fact that, you know, the information you were dispelling did not have enough little freaking quick, cute little smiley faces next to it so that people understood you were joking. And that just makes it seem more malicious than it necessarily is.
Right, and along those lines, I took off recently on my website, I took off the arch enemies list. There's only one guy on The Geek that really got that. It's like a comic book arch enemies type joke.
Sure.
I started getting emails saying that, you know, it's like a mafia hit list. And I said, you know, this as far as a joke, that's just not worth it. So I just took it off.
I agree with you. And don't get me wrong, I feel bad for humanity that actually is the case. But again, having existed in cyberspace as long as I have.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the way it rolls, and I'm sorry.
Yeah, so. Well, anyway, let's move. So, but what my point was that, you know, Aldi's posts tend to be very brief, and if he said, you know, I'm not going to let Steve post again until he apologizes. But what really made me question his motives was he said he's going to remove it from the podcast. He's going to make a public apology both on the website. And he knew I would. There was no way I would do that. So,
well, the thing is.
So, which is why it's tend to all the people that have told me, we tend to think it was a stealth banning.
Because
he knew there was no way I would comply with those requirements, so he gets my problem posts off the website.
Yeah, well, actually, again, Steve, when it's all said and done, you don't have too many problem posts. It was mostly the people that you tended to incite that was really the problem.
Ah, okay.
Your dismissal was more of a way to fix that problem.
Yeah, but like I said, I'm not upset about it because as we talked last time, your website is not great because of you and Aldi. It's great because of your contributors. And if you remove me, you remove my brilliant commentary, and it hurts your website ultimately.
Well, be that as it may, I appreciate where you're coming from on that. But, you know, brilliant commentary aside, thing is like, you know, it's a question of rights. And you may not believe it, but Aldi and I are actually pretty big libertarian, have a pretty big libertarian bend to us. The only thing is that I think it's a very important part of being a true libertarian, or in terms of that ideal, that if the things that you are, the liberties that you are taking, infringe on other people's liberties, then you probably don't deserve those liberties. I mean, if I walk into a restaurant and start and I light up a cigarette and I blow it into your face every time you take a bite, you know, I'm assuming you're not a smoker.
No.
And then, you know, that is infringing on your rights, even though I have the right to do that. And it's a question of just being, like, I think it's just being a human being. I
mean, well, you know, there was another guy you guys issued a warning to. I don't know if you banned him, Paul Hedrick. All he did was post a link to Barnes's review on Fortress Ameritrash, and he got a warning. What is it?
I don't remember that.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to be... I don't know. I don't see the problem with that, because if somebody's going through your forums and they don't have to click on that link, you know.
I don't know. Maybe not. I mean, the truth is like, you know, when it was all said and done, yeah, maybe we don't always react perfectly in every situation, but ultimately, you know, A, we always try to act in the best interest of the community at large, and B, if we're human, you're just going to have to frickin' forgive us. At the time, things were getting a little on the ridiculous side. We're like, oh, God, would this please just go away? I mean, hey, let's look at it this way, brother. We've been doing this shit for 7 years. Seven, right? You don't think that, I mean, I'm not saying that we're going to be here in another 7 years, but this whole brouhaha, we've been through it time and time again. We've had all kinds of people basically said, well, we're leaving. Well, we're leaving, and this sucks, and blah, blah, blah. And, like, you know, maybe they come crawling back, and they don't log into their old selves again. I don't know. I don't care. My job is basically to make sure of two things. A, people are talking about board games and exchanging information, and B, that we do what we can to retain an environment in which people can talk about such things and not feel threatened or whatever. And
right.
When we're talking about this crap, we're actually going against, you know, my principles, I guess, but whatever.
Yeah, but it's the core of my show.
believe me, Steve, I got that.
Nah, one more banning, then we'll get off of it. Mr. Skeletor's banning. I agree that the picture he put up shouldn't have been on the Geek, the avatar. But, yeah. You know, I've seen other people post nude pictures and stuff that you guys took down, but you didn't ban them. So what's the deal with that?
Well, honestly, again, going back to the Ameritrash thread that I read yesterday, which I don't remember the timestamp on it. I don't go there all that terribly often. But I read through
Ken Bradford, yeah.
Stuff and blah, blah, blah. The thing is like Michael Chappell. You guys assume that he has some sort of circle of protection, right? The thing is like Michael Chappell is not a butthead the way the Skeletor is. Skeletor has also, like Barnes, had some really good input on things. I've read his, you know, he's funny. I've been reading up on Twilight Imperium, and so he had that comment where he and Nate Merchant crossed swords, and he said something to the effect of, Nate can't reply right now. He's trying to knock down his schedule, his bitching schedule for the next 6 months, something like that. That was funny. Okay?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
But at the same time, Skeletor was just a butthead. He kept coming on. He'd throw an egg into a conversation and then go away. I mean, his whole point of coming in and changing his avatar like that was to agitate again. I mean, you know, too damn bad, actually, is pretty much where I'm at on that one. I mean, you're going to, if you create the problem by agitating and whatnot, you can't expect to live behind this cloak of invisibility, just because you know you get free expression. Free expression's just it just doesn't work, man. Like I said, it's all about us retaining the viability of the website as a whole. And if one person compromises that for everybody, then screw them.
Yeah. But, you know, a lot of people enjoy the debate and so forth. And now you've got, I mean, if you look at the top geek list, it's about, what is it, lolcats? And you got
a bunch of, and
you say the Board Game Geek convention's going green with Friedman Freese, and it looks like the website's going pink with the women's forums.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's good, but I some people tend, you know, like a little more debate and so forth, and...
Well, debate is great, honestly. I have no problem with debate. The mere fact that I'm willing to speak with you over and over again, I think we should attest to that. It has much more to do with, you know, when does it cross the line? When is it that we're just talking about, you know, being buttheads? When is it that we're just, you know, trying to get in the ultimate zinger at the cost of actually ruining the environment in which everybody lives? It's a game. I mean, you know, if you asked me the question earlier about how gaming has become social for me, then the website is almost pure social. And so we've done everything we can to make sure that it is a welcoming, good place for people to come and have spirited debates. I have no problem with that.
Yeah, but, one of the comments I read on Fortress Ameritrash recently, and I've seen a lot of these, not just there, but in other places, that say your social environment, to quote one person, sucks monkey balls there.
Okay. I don't know what to tell you about that. I think the ultimate counterpoint to that is your LOL cats. LOL BGG. I mean, that is like people banding together in a social way to make funnies that are contextual to games. And I thought there was some, you know, okay, fine. The whole gig is like, the whole hook of that thing is completely derivative off of something that was, you know, all our base belong to us, or whatever it was, all your base belong to us, which, you know, whatever, but it's still people coming together, having some good times and talking about stuff, making some jokes, and nobody
right.
walks away.
But you know, it seems to me that, and a lot of people have said this, your website, you tend to be like the collective, you know, everybody thinks the same, and you should know this, your avatar is a perfect, I mean, you should understand that you need good and bad conflict there to make it interesting.
Well, I assume you're talking to my yin and yang.
Yin and yang, yes.
I think that is absolutely true. I have no problem with the idea of people championing the cause of, I mean, okay, let me walk you through my last game purchase, right? I'm looking at it right now, okay? I'm going to go top to bottom. I got Battle Lore, I got Fire and Axe, I got two Descent expansions, Twilight Imperium and Twilight Imperium Shattered Empires.
Okay.
On the way is Tide of Iron, right?
Right.
And out of that whole mess, oh yeah, I also bought one copy of Notre Dame, which I played, and I said, yes, this is a good game. I see why people are liking it, but it's, you know, it's just what it is, right? So, to go back to your question, I have no problem with different ideas. I have no problem with that. It's when it crosses the line and it starts targeting people on a personal level that it becomes like counterproductive to the environment that we're seeking. I mean, you know, if you said it yourself about your arch enemies list, you meant it tongue in cheek. I understand that, but how can you not like take that personally, even indirectly, if you're the person who looks up at Tom Vassell and says, wow, he's really made a good contribution to this world of board gaming that I exist in, and I really appreciate all the hard work that he's devoted to making enough of a stir that I actually came and I understood and I started playing some of these games. So, you know, running people down is not the same thing as yin and yang. That's all I'm saying. No problem with.
Yeah, I think what we're having the problem is the definition.
Hive mentality?
I'm sorry?
You said hive mentality?
Hive mentality, yes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, how do you... that's a highly subjective term. I mean, you're saying that it's hive mentality because everybody wants to play the latest, greatest hotness that is Notre Dame or Kalis or something like that?
No, I think it's more the let's all get along thing that, I mean, you can't have an argument without somebody taking it personal. Your definition of personal is much different than mine. I mean, when we get together and play games, you know, I have computer buddies that are similar, real similar personality to yours, and I kid them all the time about, you know, you guys think different than I do. It's just the way when you're programming, you think different. And I kid, you know, we exchange blows all the time, and nobody takes it personal.
Okay.
But I don't think
the thing is like, have you ever? Oh God, what's the name of that? It's like somebody used a term the other day. Is it Murphy's number or something like that? I don't remember.
Yeah, let me give you the perfect example though. On my website, I don't know if you ever saw it, I took this down too about Greg, the most wanted man, and I said Greg was last seen wearing a cube necklace with a portrait of Kramer and Kiesling on it.
Now, okay.
All right, so what you're saying, Greg reads that, he's insulted, but if I read that about me, I show up at a convention wearing that, playing along with the joke. That's the difference.
Okay.
That's the difference between, you know, Greg and myself.
Actually,
I roll with the punch and play it to the hilt. I mean, I show up in the Mr. Rogers sweater, the loafers, and the necklace.
I take exception with that, actually, because I know Greg very personally. I've known him for many years. He and I are very good friends, and, you know, maybe we don't agree on all things, but, A, I know he's actually not a huge he's not just a Kramer fanatic, right? He's a game fanatic, right? And if you're talking about, you know, something like that, he actually would be much, much, much more inclined to wear a necklace made out of cubes with Kramer's picture on it. I assure you, he would. I'm telling you, I know the guy, you know, and there's a difference maybe between your perception of him online and how I know him to behave in his daily life.
Yeah, but let me tell you,
I got one more thing.
Okay, go ahead.
One thing. The thing is like there's a huge difference between the example you gave in terms of you and your buddy sitting around and playing a game and the internet, right? The internet, and this is what I was referring to earlier, there's a number that essentially that's called your monkey number. Your monkey number is about 150-ish or something like that. I don't remember the exact number. But basically, once an environment becomes larger than that, you no longer have a personal, like, association with everybody in your network, okay? The internet is absolutely like that. And so that brings out the worst in people. When you should hit the back button and not submit the thing that you're talking, the nasty reply that you're about ready to hit, you don't because you have a social connection to that person. Maybe it isn't so much that you don't like them or whatever. It's the fact that you are willing to accept the respect of basically clicking the back button, shutting your mouth from time to time, and accepting the fact that maybe this comment is going to do nothing more than make this conversation spiral out of control. And it's that first first drop of blood that really makes the whole experience, sours the whole experience from then on.
Yeah, but I agree with you. It's a tough thing. The internet's a tough thing, and it's new, relatively new, and in terms of free speech and so forth. But I think in terms with the gig, I think we have a responsibility not only, I mean, I don't want to tell you how to run your site, but you got a lot of international people on there and they're watching. And I would rather let people go and roll with the punch and, you know, let them say what they want to say and who cares and kind of go with the principle of free speech, even though it may not apply. We differ on that, I know, in terms. But I think since people are watching, we don't want to get to where we're banning people all the time or censoring stuff or cutting comments out. Just let it go.
See, now, that mischaracterization right there is one of the things I take exception with you on, Steve. I mean, the fear you just said when we're banning people all the time and stuff, right? I mean, you know that's not true. 7 years it took us to ban somebody. Seven. I mean,
in the
height of folly for you to say that Barnes was the first of his kind, because he wasn't. There were people before him, and we didn't ban them. This was just like it was this. It was just.
But now, since you've done it, but my point is, since
enough that we did decide that maybe it was time to do that.
But now, since you've done it, see, it's you've gone down that slippery slope. Now you've banned me. You've banned Mr. Skeletor. You've banned Paul Hedrick because he posted a link to the site. You gave him 30-day suspension. He deleted his account.
It's all the same freaking thing. It was totally the same thing. The thing is like it was exactly the same issue. You should roll them all into one banning, for as far as I'm concerned. As soon as basically, I don't know if you've been around lately, but it's a damn sight more pleasant for everybody because we're not always talking about this. We're not always obsessing about this one argument over and over again. I mean,
I would disagree with you. A lot of people,
end of story.
Yeah, a lot of people I've talked with said the geek has become boring.
Sure. The people you're going to talk with, the people that actually would talk with you, I'm sure they would say that. I mean, and board gaming as a hobby has been dying for the last 20 years. Give me a break. It's not the freaking case. Everything's new. Everything's always new.
Okay, let's move on. Let's get off the... you mentioned Fortress Ameritrash. What do you think of that? Their blog. Do you read it?
I read it from time to time when somebody says, hey, look at that. And I say, oh, yeah, that's interesting. That's not a personal insult, per se. I'm sure the content over there, everybody says it's got great content when you're not obsessing about the fact that you left Board Game Geek as a counterpoint to it.
Let's talk about that, too. Maybe you could straighten me out. I didn't follow... I didn't see the whole thing, what this happened, but apparently Gleemax, you know, the website, your competitor or so-called competitor, you deleted some comments over there. You want to explain what happened over there?
Sure.
What
no
happened
problem,
with that?
Actually, okay, Gleemax, basically we've been kind of talking with them being Wizards of the Coast off and on for a little while, and they've... One of their big wigs comes in and says, yeah, well, you want to be part of this thing that we're starting. And obviously, I don't have enough time. Ollie looked at it and says, well, why would I do that in that we're essentially very much the same thing, only you're not actually, A, you're brand new, B, you're basically offering me some sort of, you know, pat on the back, advisory type of position for something that I already own. Why would I do that? Right?
Yeah.
The deleting of the post I will take, because when it's all said and done, the best thing that we have, and I'm going to say something really bad here, the best thing that we have in terms of the geek being a business is the number of people that come there and live there and whatnot, okay? And so we have tried very, very hard over a very long period of time to build that audience, to build the environment in which people come to come make comments and whatnot, and it's very important that I protect that one thing. If some other company comes in and decides that they're just going to take advantage of my audience and link them off to another website, they are sadly mistaken. If they want to send me a check and you know, ask me to run banners for them, I'll think about it.
Yeah.
But I am absolutely positively not going to do anything to help them build their website at the expense of me.
I think my opinion is, you know, Dirk, there's McDonald's, there's a Burger King. I think the competition here is going to be great. It's going to keep you guys on your toes, and it's going to be great for gaming. And I'm looking forward to it.
It's
about time you guys had a competitor out there. I think it's going to be great. You're gonna think twice before you do something stupid.
Oh, please. I do something stupid every morning. No. The thing it's not about not competing. That is totally not what it is, okay? I'm all for competition. I don't
As
know why
I.
you guys... I mean, we have one employee, for Christ's sake. What makes you guys always equate us to Microsoft? I mean,
I'll give you the reason.
I mean, what?
You and I talked about this last time, and I stand corrected when we were talking about the moderation system. Apparently, it's in place, the new summary page, right? I disagree with that whole concept. I think you guys are really underestimating your audience, the fact that they need a summary page. I've had people go to the Geek, and we can, believe me, we can figure out without... It reminds me of what Microsoft Windows XP did to 98. You guys don't... You don't need to see these hidden files. You can't handle it, right? You know.
Wait, hang on. Can you explain to me and like, in so that I understand what you're saying? What are you saying now? What summary page?
On board game, the summary page on Board Game Geek.
Yeah.
The first, you know, if you don't log in, it gives you the.
Oh, okay, that thing. Okay, yeah. Sure. I thought you meant the front page. Okay. No. I understand. Yeah. What's wrong with that?
Well, last time you were saying. People that come to the Geek is like drinking from a fire hose. And I think, you know, you can't, and I assume that's why you put that up.
That's an important part of making, it's not a question of dumbing it down. It's a question of just like giving them a gentle introduction. If you walk in and
you don't need a gentle introduction. I mean, you can go to the site and believe me, you can figure it out.
I'm not saying that you can't figure it out. I am constantly amazed by the number of people. In fact, I've got a local friend of mine who I'm basically like teaching how to use the website. He's an old wargamer, goes on Constant World all the time, right?
What is he, 92? Come on. You need lessons to learn how to use that website?
Hey, I don't know, man. The thing is like I think it's a logical decision or logical design.
I got a kick out of it when I first saw it because it looks so lengthy. Pretty soon you're going to need a summary page for that summary page.
No. we can dumb it down. We can make it smaller. It's just a question of like it's a marketing thing, man.
Okay,
the thing is if you come in from the outside and you see the Board Game Geek in all of its glory and it will overwhelm you and it will make you not necessarily want to go further.
I disagree. It doesn't overwhelm anybody I've seen. And that's where I compare you to Microsoft. Windows 98 to XP, where XP hid the files, you know, the system files. And in 98, you could find them. It's the same type of thing. That's my comparison.
Steve, you've already said earlier in this conversation you're a computer moron. So, I mean, I'm not going to believe that. And I've seen your website, so I'm also not going to believe the fact that you have the first clue what the hell you're talking about, man. I mean, I respect the fact that you think that, but I'm just going to have to say I'm right and you're wrong. And
okay.
Oh, that's the end of it.
That's good. Okay, let's move on. Let's talk about, there was another great article that you commented on your website about, what was it, the American Medical Association wanted to talk about game addicts.
And you
thought it was hilarious. And
I
found it interesting, you being a computer guy, that you never got involved with these online computer games and so forth. Why is that?
Well, I mean, I remember quite distinctly when I moved to Dallas for the first time, and I discovered, I think it was Civ 3 at the time. I was trying to find a job, and my buddy had Civ 3 installed on his computer, and then the next thing I remember, it was like a week later, and I was bleary-eyed, and I couldn't remember what had happened the last week, and I knew I'd played a little bit of Civ in there at some point, but my point was more just that the gaming itself was highly addictive. I mean, you got that just
right.
Do one more turn, just play one more turn kind of thing. And then the next thing you know, it's 6 a.m. and you forgot to go to sleep that night.
I got involved with one of them at one time, and I found, you know, I was at work, and you work on the computer all day, and then you come home and play that all night, and I did that once. And I felt like, I woke up the next day, I felt like my head was in a drawer, and I said, enough. You know,
yeah.
I mean, does it that come down to it? You're a computer guy. You're on the computer. That why you like board gaming. That is, you can get away from that and just have a social thing.
Well, yes and no. I mean, the thing is like when you say I'm a computer guy, that right there essentially is demonstrating how little you know. Insofar as there's a huge spectrum of computer guys. My particular
are like you call it, like you like to call them coders, right?
Well, no, actually, I wouldn't even go that far, because when you say computer scientist, that could mean that you specialize in, you know, administration of Unix systems, which basically is you know, like one thing versus being a database administrator, being a database designer, being a QA kind of person, being a lead coder, being a normal coder. You know, there's so many areas of expertise when it comes to computing, okay?
Right.
Because it depends on the problem that you're trying to solve. When I introduce myself being a computer guy who works on basically like a database guy who is specialized on financial accounting systems for hedge funds, okay, which means I am part accountant, I'm part programmer, I'm part system administrator for Solaris, I'm part DBA administrator and things like that. And, you know, on top of that, if your mouse breaks, don't call me because I probably can't fix the damn thing.
Okay. All right.
All I'm saying is that's a gross generalization, and there's not a whole lot of reason. There's a lot of variation in there. So I actually did not even own my first personal computer up until about 3 years ago.
Oh, okay.
I didn't want to actually have the time and trouble of actually trying to fix it, taking it apart, you know, rebuilding it, shit like that. Don't care. Don't want to do it. Not part of what I want to spend my extra time doing.
While I'm thinking, I got a lot of comments after we talked the first time that apparently some people had listened to your previous shows, and especially, and there was one posted recently by Aldi, you and Aldi doing the interviewing Alan Moon at the Gathering of Friends, and people sent me email. They said, "Wow, what a difference between Dirk on your show and then Alan Moon, because on Alan Moon you're talking real. Now, Alan, can you tell me, you know, real sedate, and then on my show. So which is the real Dirk?"
It depends on which time of day you get.
Ah, okay, okay. I thought you'd get a kick out of that, because a lot of people just were shocked at the total difference in attitude. My feeling was that when you were doing the thing with Alan Moon, you probably still had a red badge, and you were worried about being kicked out of the Gathering of Friends.
I mean, at the risk that, I mean, I've been going to the Gathering before the geek was the geek. Seriously, I didn't get an invite because I was part of the geek. I swear, I didn't. I got an invite because the guy that I work with now, even 7 years later, like, invited me, and he was a East Coast person. That's how he got in. And it was not out of deference to Alan. It was just the fact that when it's all said and done, you wind me up a little bit more than other people. And
okay.
You're interviewing me as opposed to me interviewing him.
I see.
As to say, my purpose as the interviewer, and you could probably, you know, listen to this next comment a little bit if you want, Steve. Your purpose as an interviewer is to actually showcase the person, not necessarily just, you know, showcase your own egotism.
That's right. My show is to showcase me, and you're just... No, I get it. No, the truth of it...
Well, I mean, so the thing is like, oftentimes there is a I forget what the internet term is it for it was, but I remember going and getting interested in Legos a while back, and that they, oh right, they call it the Dark Ages, when you come out of your Dark Ages, that is to say, you were once a person that played with Legos, and now, you know, years go by and you put your toys down and then you discover them later on. And oftentimes board games are very much that same way.
Yeah.
Where people played them and then they decided that they were, you know, they didn't have enough time for it. They wanted to go get girls, whatever, and then they come back to it. And when they do come back to it, they oftentimes will take a progression and they'll stay within a certain, you know, parameter. And so, you know, when they do find out about board games, that's usually when they find us. And
right.
So what you're dealing with when you talk about the hive mind, the collective at the Board Game Geek, the people that are going to be the most active on the website are going to be the people that are coming out of their own personal dark ages, that all of a sudden, wow, there's this huge landscape of gaming that's appeared in the last 10 years since I dropped out of it.
Right.
So it's not hugely surprising that they're going to say the same thing over and over and over and over again.
Right.
Because you're talking about the same different people saying the same thing. And, you know, it's not bad. That's great. It just means there's more gamers in the world. Get
exactly,
on with it.
Yeah,
answer
yeah.
a question, you know, politely and move on with it.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up something else I wanted to briefly touch on. You mentioned going after girls, and I saw a thread recently. You were talking about dating and girls in Brooklyn and everything. It's kind of rough out there, isn't it?
Kind of what?
Kind of, it's a jungle out there, isn't it?
In terms of dating?
Yes.
Well, actually, less so than Dallas for me. Dallas was like, a desert as far as I was concerned.
Yeah, what was the comment? I'm looking, trying to find it here. Somebody asked, what was it? They were listening to the old Geek Speaks.
And they
wondered if you had found...
I had gotten a girl and whether or not Aldi had dropped some weight. And the answer was neither.
Ah, okay. So,
but the thing is, Steve, now this... Just because I say I don't have a girl doesn't mean that it's impossible for me. It's a question of, finding the right one.
Don't put words in my mouth. I didn't say that. I'm just bringing up the topic. It's interesting. And you mentioned recently, what was something, you had another comment too about gaming and dating. You don't bring that up. They don't go together.
No, they don't. they don't.
I don't know. I've had... I think they like games more than you think, and I think.
Hang on. Actually, have you seen the movie Hitch? Because I just recently saw it. You know what I'm talking about?
Hitch.
Will Smith.
I have not seen it. No.
Oh, okay. Well, there's this part at the end of the movie, right? That is really, I think, really encapsulates dating in that, you can be. The thing is, it's a game. It is totally a game, and it's all about, not being the nice guy and not being the person who says the right thing. It's basically being the person who doesn't say the wrong thing. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it's basically, it's this world that we live in, and so when it's all said and done, when it comes to dating and gaming, I do not bring it up until I have at least a modicum of comfortableness with it, because you're essentially just unzipping your fly right then, right? You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think it's like anything. You can't obsess on it. I mean, you bring out one and watch a reaction if she likes it, but you don't. You show her you have a wide variety of interests or what you're interested in.
Well, that's fine and dandy. The thing is like, I had this conversation. It doesn't necessarily mean just dating in particular. I mean, everybody has a concept of what board gaming means. And in most cases, what you mean by board gaming and what I mean by board gaming when we say it is essentially very, very close, despite the fact that you want to make the differences between us bigger than they may seem. The thing is like the differences between you and I and then a third person is like just monumental in terms of, they usually remember their experiences for board gaming is 12 hours of Monopoly just slowly getting ground against the millstone, grind, or it's Risk, in which case it was all about, which dice came up. And again, it's a grind, and it's a long experience, and they're like, oh, I hate this. Why am I doing this? Oh, yes, it's because this kid wanted to play it. I mean, and you just did it as a favor to him, because that's what most of people's experience with gaming is. It's either highly competitive, it's gambling, it's arduous, and so all of these associations are what instantly come into people's mind when you say, yes, I'm a board gamer. You can't tell me in any meaningful way, Steve, that is a good thing to start off on.
Right, and I had this conversation with Ken Bradford when I was talking with him, and he has a work group, a game group, as do I at work, and these people will just be amazed. They say, where'd you get this game? Did you pull it out of your ass? They've never heard of it. And I think it's important, and these people, when they go to the stores, and it doesn't help when you see guys, with their pants down, with their butt cracks showing, that are in there that weigh 500 pounds. And
yeah. Well, the funny thing about that is I do go to gaming conventions and a lot, right?
Right.
And I in the last year that I've moved, since I've moved here, I've dropped like 30 pounds, right? That is like,
well, congratulations.
Very non-gamerness, okay? Yeah, but I didn't try, so I can't actually take a lot of credit for it.
Right.
It's walking and being stressed and whatnot. But I mean, the thing is that's the gamer people. They tend to be a little portly. They tend to maybe not have the best hygiene. But, you know, that's just the personality gets drawn to it. Yes, it's unfortunate, but, you know, for every one, for every, say, 10 of those, there's a Greg Schlosser in the world who's, like, the opposite of that. So, you know, that's the frustration for me.
Yeah, really. I share that with you, yes. Because we tend to get lumped in with those guys, and, you know.
Yeah.
And it, I'm not saying those guys are bad people or anything.
No, they're not bad people.
No.
But
no.
It colors people's interpretations of what we do, and that's unfortunate because I think you and I will always agree 7 days a week that the world would be a better place if we all sat down and played board games more often.
I agree. And one of the things I think, too, and I brought it up earlier, is everybody is so involved with the internet and everything at work, and it's just great to get away from all that and just sit around a table and play a game, have some wine or beer or whatever.
Yeah,
I think it'd be a great thing.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not denying that. It's just, and you know, in my own, see, this harkens back to the thing is like whenever you picture these guys, right? It's the guy from Simpsons, the comic book guy who has a compulsion to basically correct you if you put an apostrophe slightly out of place. That is the prototypical, like, person that they associate with gaming.
Right, okay? Right.
And that person is very obsessed about details because what we do does have a lot of detail to it in terms of, like, if you're going to play Twilight Imperium, you're going to have to sit there and listen to rules for an hour and a half before you can play it.
Right.
That is a huge commitment for people. And that experience, while it is good for you and I, it's not something you're going to walk into, right?
Yeah.
And so when it comes to, for instance, a summary page for the Geek, if I can get people to look past the fact that it will take me an hour and a half to explain Twilight Imperium, that it is actually a relatively simple game for them to actually truly understand, and it is a simple game, it just has a lot of little rules to it, just like when it's all said and done, the Board Game Geek is a simple website and is extremely powerful to use. But what I can't do is I can't, like, give it to you right away if you're not ready to accept it.
Right.
Right? It's a question of marketing. If your first experience with board gaming in the new age, after you come out of your dark age, is Twilight Imperium, and you have some guy that basically is just constantly correcting you and not actually teaching you the right rules or something like that, or not the right rules, but, you know, giving you strategy tips and rules and blah, 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 then you're going to run away screaming. You're never going to come back. So I'm trying to make sure that you don't run away screaming.
Right. In your opinion, who are the top three people that are doing the most damage to board gaming? The most damage to the hobby.
Whoever the vice president, or whoever the president, vice president, and treasurer is for Hasbro.
Hasbro, number one, the Hasbro executives.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, number two.
Oh, I can't take up all three with Hasbro.
I was hoping you'd say Michael Barnes, but
oh hell no, I'm not going to say Michael Barnes. The thing is like, you know, he's an annoyance to the website. He has very little to do with the board gaming industry as a whole. Just like I have very little to do with the board gaming industry as a whole, other than the fact that I happen to have had a decent idea a while back that has come to fruition because everybody helped me realize it, but. You know, the executives at Hasbro really are the ones that really get under my skin because I feel that they are chiefly responsible for the propagation of this risk and monopoly mentality that people have about games. That is, they need to sell X billion number of units every year and be damned any sort of innovation and be damned any sort of, like, experience outside of that. And that is what is that is what's holding us back.
Yeah.
If those guys decided to throw it down everybody's throat, they could. Now, I realize they never would because it's, you know, capitalism and branding and all that other kind of crap. But even if they took Settlers of Catan and rebranded it as Monopoly or something like that, then we would still have, you know, we would be making some progress.
Exactly.
All right, number two. I don't know.
Okay, I'll take those three. As
I mean, to me, those the
president, vice president, and treasurer,
number one, number two, and number three, because they're so bad. WotC itself, Wizards of the Coast, I don't really even necessarily have a problem with them because they're essentially just an extension of Hasbro these days, since they just snapped up anybody who gets large enough to be snapped up on. So,
It is frustrating. I agree with you. But listen, Dirk, I'm out of time, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And I have enjoyed talking with you, as usual.
Yes.
And it's great.
I appreciate it.
Hey, enjoy your new game table, by all means. Well, break it
I
in.
I will. I will tomorrow, without a doubt.
All right.
It's cool, actually. It condenses into a normal-sized table. They got all kinds of crazy stuff here in New York to save you some space. So.
Right.
All right, cool. Well, Steve, good luck.
Good luck with you. How's the convention shaping up this year, the Board Game Geek convention?
Great, I guess. We're kind of bringing in a new guy to help us run it. When I left Dallas, it kind of left Aldi a little bit in a lurch. It helps with most things like that to have two people to kind of...
it's a tough thing. It's a lot of work, isn't it?
Well, it isn't even so much the work, and I'm not trying to trivialize the work, but it's more getting excited about the work. If you can get together to, drink some beers and plan, that's another thing, but to sit down and plan by yourself, it's not as much fun.
Speaking about conventions, there was a comment I really laughed at. There was a guy that, you went to KublaCon with Aldi, right? And there was a guy that said, he saw you there, but he's intimidated by celebrities. And I'm thinking, if that guy ran into like Pamela Anderson, he would just vaporize.
I know. Well, I mean, I certainly don't consider myself a celebrity, but whatever, it's people's perception.
You have a strong personality. You're probably intimidated.
Well, I do tend to be a little colorful from time to time. I suppose that's possible. I don't know. I mean, that's more for him to answer that question than me. I wouldn't know. And I can assure you that I can be intimidating and both intimidated. It just depends on where you are.
Yeah, because we remember when you were intimidated by Reiner, right?
I don't know that I would say I was intimidated so much as just surprised. No, again, going back to the whole idea of the purpose of the show is so that people listen to him. And so, it's not about me.
Well, thanks a lot for taking the time again. And we appreciate your candor, as usual, your openness to answer these, which other people wouldn't even dare answer these questions, probably.
I have no idea. I I don't know if they're hard-hitting questions. They're just questions you ask me, and I'll answer them as best I can. So.
All right, thanks a lot. Have a great week.
Yep, you too, man.
Later.
All right, I want to thank Dirk Zolko for stopping by. I thought it was interesting, the conversation about coming out of the Dark Ages. And Dirk said he got back into Legos. He's back into Legos. And then he was telling me off the air. In fact, the girl he's seeing now, she's okay with that. And in fact, Dirk made her a Lego rose. And she thought that was sweet. But the minute he goes back to Tinker Toys, it's all over. Thank you, folks. See you next time.